Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of December 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. As we close out our half hour together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenorum at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. A really in-depth look at the weather in South America with him. It's already up on the webpage if you want to check it out at willag.com. Org. And along the way today, we'll take up what the reaction of the soybean oil, soybean meal, soy complex, and maybe even corn ought to be as it's related to the RFS and the Monday release of the renewable fuel standards by U.S. EPA right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit finished higher, up 6 1/4 at $3.70 1/4. The March at 377, 3/4 higher. May at 382 3/4, up 6 3/4. And July up 6 1/2 at 388. December corn, $3.99 1/2, up 6 1/4 cents. Soy complex higher as well. January beans up 5 1/4 to $8.97 1/2. The March at $9 1/4, up 5 1/4. May futures at nickel higher at 906 1/4, July at 913, up 5 1/2 cents, and November's at 916 3/4, up 5 1/4. Bean meal 80 cents higher at $2.87.10, and the bean oil up 32 cents at $30.59. December wheat futures at 464 3/4, 12 1/2 cents higher. July at 492 3/4, up 11. And the hard red winter wheat up a dime today at $4.97 1/4. Live cattle futures for the day: December contract $3.12 1/2 lower at $125.97 1/2. The February down $1.75 at $129.87 1/2. And January feeders $1.27 1/2 lower at $159.45. March contract $157.50 down $1.10. Lean hogs at this hour trading at $58.40, 95 cents lower. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org, where we post all of our agricultural programming.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Here's what some of the outside markets look like at this hour. Ethanol futures in the December contract at $1.50 1/2 cents. That's a penny higher. Crude oil in January at $41.16, $1.22 higher per barrel. Gasoline on wholesale price at $1.29 9/10, 0.6 cents higher. And heating oil or diesel fuel is up 5 6/10 cents at $1.36 1/10. Natural gas at $2.18 1/10, 1 6/10 cents lower. The real fireworks happening over in the financials. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now down 282 points at 17,476. The U.S. dollar at 97.615 is trading down 2.42, and it was to a high today of 100.6. And the gold futures on the afternoon are now currently trading $10.25 higher at $1,064. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Patchy fog after midnight, otherwise mostly clear. A low of 28 degrees on a west-southwest wind this evening at 3 to 6. Tomorrow, patchy fog before 9 a.m. Otherwise, sunny skies will go to about 50 degrees tomorrow. Southwest winds at 3 to 7. Clear on Friday night, dropping back to 30. And Saturday, sunny skies and 52. Again, a light south-southeast wind by then at 5 to 10 miles an hour in the morning. Saturday evening, mostly clear and will drop to a low of 32 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny and 49. Sunday night, cloudy and 34. Monday, to start the work week, mostly sunny and 47 degrees. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this third day of December. It's a Thursday afternoon. We're talking now with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It looks like there was a nice rally in the marketplace, at least for the grains and the oil seeds, but the impetus came straight out of Europe and some of the things that their financial leaders had been saying throughout the day. Apparently, they're going to hold the line, even drop interest rates further than they already have been, below zero.
Well, the you look at the screen, what stands out is the sharp decline in the U.S. dollar. And what really prompted that, nobody really knows for sure. But I think basically what it is indicating is that longer term, you're going to see money flow out of the dollar, the euro, your other world currencies, and it's going to move over into China. The International Monetary Fund did recognize the yuan or the renminbi as a world currency. And now it's not going to happen overnight, but right at the moment, I'm just rounding things off. The U.S. dollar accounts for about 50% of the world currency. I think the euro is somewhere in that 30% range of world currencies, and I think then 20 to 25% is other currencies, Swiss franc, British sterling, Canadian dollar, and whatnot. Now, the fact that the International Monetary Fund has recognized the yuan as a reserve currency, because they pretty well have to. China is the second largest economy in the world. Now, we know it is still communist somewhat controlled, but probably if you look around and analyze every country, that's somewhat communist, socialistic control too. So each government's going to protect themselves. But I think what you're going to see now is a big, massive transfer of wealth move out of the Western world into China. I think China is going to really be a very booming economy. I think you're going to see new building, new manufacturing, new stimulation, and I think that's part of the stock market crash, too, is that people are going to sell U.S. stocks, get U.S. dollars, take those U.S. dollars, buy yuans, and buy China stock market. So I think that this may be the start of that, because when you look on a chart, this big decline in the dollar is definitely a statement. It's not just what you call a little blip. I mean, it is a major statement on the decline here. So it's also, too, which could be contributing to some of this stuff, it is December. We are only a couple weeks or so away from the holidays. And, you know, the dominant trend over the past 3-4 months, 6 months, especially in the dollar, has been higher. So there's probably people wanting to take profits on their long dollar. So that is probably stimulating some of this selling. And then when you look at the grain complex, corn, soybeans, and wheat, the dominant trend over the past 3 to 6 months has been down. So the shorts are probably wanting to take some profits over in the grains. So December is one of those months that you get a lot of mixed signals that's kind of unexplainable. And, you know, the only thing that I can explain it is it's a lot of position squaring going on all around the world. and that's why you get a lot of different mixed signals. But from a technical perspective, if you just look at the raw chart data, it's definitely a zinger for the dollar, and it is quite positive for the corn market. Corn market busted above its four-week trading range. If you could get some strong follow-through in the corn market, you could probably maybe argue a move in March corn futures up into the 390. Soybeans have been rallying actually all week, and they were still able to maintain, you know, a pretty good close here, closing up about 5 cents. They're above some key moving averages, I think, which is going to encourage more short covering, at least from the technical side, and actually a lot of your technical traders are going to continue or probably be adding to their long positions, the one that looks at just plain chart action. Wheat, that's the commodity that I've always believed in. If you try to figure it out which way you think it's going to go, and you go the opposite of that one. But wheat did put in a nice performance, but it's been really defensive and terribly oversold. So it was ripe also, you know, to kind of catch this wave of short covering in the marketplace.
I suppose in the wheat you're hoping for a weekly hookup, but we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see whether that can actually be pushed into the system. I made note that the U.S. dollar, one way or the other, has an outside week going. It looks like it will be an outside down. Will it trade down to what, 95 or thereabouts, do you suppose?
Well, you're going to have good support in this 97. Yeah, 97, 96, 95. I mean, that's going to be at least stabilizing support initially, and then we'll see whether or not that holds. And then if that doesn't hold, well, then the market then would probably tee up a move to go back to that October low point, which is down there around 93.5 or 93.75. So, a week of reversal down. Since it started early in the month, you could end up with a monthly reversal to the downside in the dollar, which would indicate a major top in the dollar. And I noticed the other day, gold funds have never had such a they're coming off of the biggest short position they've ever had in gold. I think gold, I think you told me we were up about $10 here today. Yep. I got charts covering it up. But so you're going to see some fun short covering in gold because of their big short position as we go into the holidays. And then we'll see what, you know, the new year brings. South America weather. We'll see if USDA tinkers with production. We'll put the final nail in the coffin of the 2015 crop, and then everybody will begin to start looking at the 2016 crop and what kind of weather patterns and acreage expectations and what these low prices may do to the overall acreage mix.
We'll wait for Commodity Week in about a half an hour or 40 minutes, and we'll talk with you then, along with Ellen Dearden and Sherman Newland, about some more of this marketplace. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Very well.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and will be a guest on our Commodity Week program. We'll record that about 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon. It'll be posted by around 5:30 this evening up on our website at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, the Farm Credit System says it's well prepared to provide credit access next year as farmers prepare for another income drop. USDA is projecting a 36% decline in farm income for 2016. And with that in mind, Kenneth Spearman, the CEO of Farm Credit, says farmers will have the access to credit they need given lower commodity prices.
The system is fundamentally sound, well positioned, if you will, to be able to provide credit for America's farmers and ranchers and aquatic producers.
Spearman told the House Agriculture Committee yesterday the Farm Credit Administration continues to monitor the economic outlook to prevent or minimize losses.
We're vigilant, if you will, and we're constantly, our examiners are constantly making us aware, if you will, of some of the clouds that may be on the horizon, and we're taking action.
Spearman told the committee during its review of the Farm Credit Administration that through borrowers' rights, there are programs in place to help farmers who may be struggling with their payments. On that note, the surplus in agricultural trade will tumble 63% to the lowest level in a decade. That's because of lower commodity prices and a stronger dollar that reduces the competitiveness of the country's exports. In the 12 months ending September the 30th, U.S. shipments of grains, soybeans, cotton, and meat and other farm products will fall 5.9% to $131.5 billion amid strong competition from global producers and weaker Chinese demand. USDA reports that U.S. agricultural imports will climb 7% to a record $122 billion. That puts the surplus at $9.5 billion, the lowest since 2006. We'll stay in Washington, D.C., where a White House spokesman has confirmed President Obama will sign the $305 billion highway bill once it reaches his desk. The bill was introduced this week and included a reverse of the $3 billion crop insurance cut, which was included in the budget deal last month. And finally today, a little closer to home here in the state of Illinois, Deere & Company has told 220 employees of the John Deere seating and cylinder plant in Moline that they will be placed on indefinite layoffs starting February the 15th. The layoffs reflect last year's forecast by Deere that agricultural machinery sales will decrease in the fiscal year of 2016. The company says the actions are taken to align the size of the manufacturing workforce at individual factories with market demand for products made at each specific location. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. The United States Environmental Protection Agency is beginning to comply with the letter of the law as it pertains to biofuels. EPA this week announced it would force oil companies to find more ways to use renewable fuels. Now, this is something the oil industry has resisted, saying it was too difficult to use much more than the 10% ethanol blend already found in gasoline. This is called the blend wall, and it's actually less than the total number of gallons of renewable fuels Congress mandated be used in 2016 when it originally wrote the law. Since not all cars can burn greater than 10% ethanol in gasoline, and the amount of gasoline used in the United States is less than the renewable fuels mandate required by law, there's this thing called the renewable fuels gap, something like 1.5 billion gallons worth. EPA hasn't moved to force oil companies yet to find new ways to fill the whole gap, but it closed it up big time, and that'll leave companies scrambling, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin.
And so the really interesting question is, what will fill the gap? Will it be higher ethanol blends, E15, E85, or biodiesel?
There's an easy answer to this question, says Irwin.
At least for the next couple of years, biodiesel. I mean, just look at a soybean oil chart. Soybean oil prices since the low last August are up 25%. And soybean prices are up 3%. And meal is tanked over that same time period. So, you know, this is going to have, you know, one way or another, it's beneficial to ag. Either I'm wrong and you get more ethanol in the form of E85, or you get more biodiesel with soybean oil and other animal fats.
The market is and has been forecasting for some time the next winner in the biofuels industry, and it appears at this point to be biodiesel, made mostly from the soybean. And if you'd like to hear a bit more about the outlook for conventional biofuels, you can do that coming up the week of December the 14th. It's one of the topics that the agricultural economist, Scott Irwin, in fact, will cover. And when we're out on the road with the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, they'll start Monday, the 14th day of December. Jonathan Kappas and Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, Todd Keithy, Nick Polson, and Gary Schnitke and myself will all be on the road. We'll go across the state of Illinois, starting here in Champaign, Monday, December the 14th, and then Tuesday we'll be in DeKalb, and Wednesday in Peoria, Thursday in Springfield, and Friday, December the 18th, in Mount Vernon. If you want to go, you can, but you need to get yourself registered, and probably ought to do that right now. You can save yourself $5 by registering online. $70 is normal registration, $65 if you do it online, $70 if you call in, $75 if you just show up the day of. You can check it all out at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. On the phone line with us is a graduate from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Went to school under the tutelage of many of the folks I just met, Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting at Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you see the lay of the land as it relates to cash prices. Things moved higher today, and sometimes it's the unexpected things. Interest rates in Europe dropping slightly from minus 0.2 to minus 0.3 or something like those for the overnight rates really pushed the market around a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the dollar falling back off early in the day basically helped corn and wheat significantly, and beans joined the party later on in the day. And I think, you know, I mean, these markets have really seen a whole lot of uptick recently. Obviously, beans had a good run after the reversal 2 Mondays ago, but, you know, it's been nice to see that these markets had been definitely oversold, I think, as far as the funds go, be able to rally back just a little bit. And I think people are keeping an eye on South American weather as well. It's interesting to see, you know, we've already gotten some varying views on the Brazilian soybean crop, but regardless, it's going to be a big one.
How quickly do you think farmers should begin to reward a marketplace that's starting to rally?
You know, the thing is that a lot of guys are sitting here looking at this market a couple of weeks ago and thinking, you know, boy, they'd really like to get close to $4 corn. And depending on where you're at, you know, there's guys with basis levels approaching 30 over the Dece, or, you know, maybe 20, 22 over the March. So they're pushing $4 corn now. If they're in that situation, I don't know that I would worry too much about an extra 2 or 3 cents. I think market's still trying to tell us that they want the grain now. And so, you know, I would highly consider, you know, going ahead with that. And if a guy wants to remain long, he can do that fairly cheaply.
Do you have a different view of the way the soybean market's working?
You know, the beans, relatively speaking today, they didn't have near as good a day as corn, you know, being just a little bit less than what corn was on the day. But I think beans have had a good run of late, and it would be, in my opinion, that doling out a few bushels on the way up would be a good thing to do. A guy can continue to hope for South American weather issues, but if he doesn't get it, he's probably going to be wishing that he had sold a little bit whenever we got, you know, March beans trading here, $8.99 a quarter. I mean, it's a pretty good level that guys didn't really think they were going to get maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Ice Cream Box Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1838, Cleveland Abbey was born. A U.S. astronomer and meteorologist, he is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Service was authorized by Congress on February 9, 1870, and Abbey joined the following January, bringing skills as the only person in the country with experience drawing weather maps from telegraphic reports and forecasting from them. In 1842, Ellen Swallow Richards was born. An American chemist, she was one of the founders of the home economics movement in the U.S. In 1910, George Claude first demonstrated his new invention, the neon light, at the Paris Motor Show. And in 1984, the world's worst industrial disaster occurred in Bhopal, India. Over 40 tons of poisonous gas leaked out of a Union Carbide pesticide factory. About 3,800 were killed and over 300,000 people suffered acute respiratory problems, burning eyes and vomiting. An independent investigation showed a strong possibility of employee sabotage as a cause of the disaster, although it has never been proved. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenores here from T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Thanks, Mike, for taking the time with us. Can you take a quick look into South America? They're supposed to have a really big crop out of Brazil, something like 100 to 102 million metric tons. A lot of that depends on the weather. What are conditions like?
Well, the weather has been a bit of a problem as of the last month or so. If you start looking at some of the numbers coming out of Brazil as far as how much rain they had and their overall temperature profile, you'll start to see some fairly interesting features that are beginning to develop. We rely on a company called Speedwell Weather to take a look at some of the historical data for different areas of the world. And if we look at southern Brazil soybeans, they have a precipitation index that will allow us to compare how much rain has occurred this year and then compare that to years of the past. So if we isolate the last 30 days or so, that would be starting right around the beginning of November, and look at how much rain fell in the southern Brazil soybean area, we can see that since 2002, this current year we're in right now, was the second wettest on record, and that's pretty high up there. We're seeing average rainfall totals that were around 6 inches above normal, and the only other year that was even comparable to that was in 2009. 2009 was the number one wettest year. Now, if you take a look at yields and compare that to what we know now, we don't see real strong correlations between weather over the last 30 days and then final yield potential. So that tells us that even though weather maybe over the last 30 days has not been very good, we can still get out of the situation because it's weather coming up that matters. But that's only one piece of the story. Keep in mind, a lot of soybeans and even more soybeans are grown in the northern half of Brazil. If we look at what's happening there, it's the exact opposite situation. They've been the second driest on record, and these records go back to 1997. So in 19 years of record, we have the second driest period of rain up there. And that's not really a great situation either, because remember, they started planting in October, so some soybeans would like to see some rain right now because their key periods of development are only a couple of weeks away. So this dry period is not ideal, though it is helping people to catch up on some planting. There were some actual rainfall delays at the end of November. So you start to put this picture together, and what you conclude is that southern areas of Brazil are too wet for soybeans, northern areas of Brazil are too dry for soybeans, and then it comes down to the weather going forward. Well, over the next week or so, everybody gets rain. The real potential issue starts up around Wednesday or Thursday next week. It looks like we'll move back into this drier pattern in northern areas and this wet pattern in southern areas. And so we think that an argument can be made that we need to keep a close eye on what's happening in Brazil because it could start to affect their soybean production if things continue to move in this direction. There is a lot of time left, but
as you can see, we do have several things that are taking place.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. Mike Tenura, of course, is with T-Storm Weather. He's out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.